they were told they were there. Awesome. But nowhere in the Bible does it ever say a single one of the disciples walked up to Jesus and said, teach us how to do miracles. There you go. They were there, Todd, when he stepped up on the bow of the ship in the rocking sea and said unto the sea, peace be still. But they still never asked God, teach us how to do miracles. Praise God. You would think that'd be high on the list of things you would want, wouldn't you? If you walked with God Himself, robed in flesh, and watched all the mighty works He was able to do, would you not want to be able to do those same works? Would you not have a desire in your heart when you saw someone who was sick to be able to just speak unto them or lay your hands on them and they recover? I would think, as a disciple, that would be the thing you would ask for. Jesus, teach us how to do this. Teach us how this, how to perform these miracles. But they didn't. The thing they did ask for, though, praise God, in Luke chapter 11, in verse 1 it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Their one desire, the disciples' one desire from Jesus is, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us what it is, what we've got to do in order to commune with God the way that God intends for us to. Teach us to go to Him in the manner that is going to be accepting unto God. Teach us to pray. Prayer is a very, 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 very important part of our walk with God. It is the thing that allows us to go into the presence of God and speak directly to Him. And in fact, allow Him to speak directly to us. We may not hear the audible voice of God. We may not experience the earth begin to shake and move or anything like that in our lifetime. But I believe when we go to God in prayer, when we commune with Him on a personal level as He desires us to do, and we do it with the right spirit and in the right pattern, if you will, God will begin to speak into us those things that we need to carry us through what we're praying for and about, and carry us through into that next level, that place in Him that He desires us to be. What I'm trying to tell you as I begin this lesson this morning is I believe prayer is one of the most important things that you can have in your life. Praise God. I believe, I'm going to go out here on a limb and get myself in a lot of trouble, but I do that pretty often, so most of y'all are used to it. Praise God. I'm going to go so far as to say this. Your prayer life is more important than any other aspect of your walk with God, up to and including even your reading and studying the Word of God. I say that because I know of peoples who have never had access to a Bible, but have been told about Jesus. And they began to desire a relationship with Him. And they began to spend time in prayer with Him. And as the years passed, these people who had no other relationship with God, no access to the Word of God, no way to learn or hear even the preached Word of God, they were back in the backwoods, Christy. They prayed, and their knowledge of who God was and how God worked was almost as high as some other people who had a Bible that they read every day. Because God has that communion with you when you pray. God speaks into your heart truth. He casts out lies. Prayer is very important, church. But it's got to be done the right way. just all stood together and corporately prayed as we began this service. So did that do us any good? Yes, it absolutely did. There is a power in corporate prayer because we're all praying for the same thing. Okay? We're all praying on the same subject. When we open up a service or when we come together in a prayer meeting, we say these are the things we need to pray about. But at the same time, if we are praying in the manner we should, then each one of us is praying for these needs separately yet together. Praise God. And I don't know about you, but I don't pay attention to what anybody else is saying or praying. I'm worried about what I'm saying and praying when I'm praying corporately. So let's just take that and take that little piece of it out of the equation for a minute, can we? Right now we want to talk about our own personal prayer. When we have that time that we have set aside in our day that is going to be our time with God. The Bible tells us that we need to go to our prayer closet. No, I am not telling you you've got to go to a specific room. Praise God. If you have a closet in your house that you've taken all the clothes and shoes out of, and that's where you want to go in and pray, you go right ahead. Praise God. My prayer closet is my recliner in my living room, just for the record. Praise God. I can get... Don't laugh at that, Christy. That's wrong. It's comfortable. You got to be comfortable when you're talking to God, right? You never know how long it's going to last. This time that you've set aside, when you go into that prayer, it doesn't need to be a manner so that somebody else knows you're praying. That's what the Bible's talking about. Go to your prayer closet when you shut that door. Your communication with God is a private communication between you and God. It's your time with Him. And it shouldn't be a spectacle for the world to see. Because you see, the hypocrites do that. You know, the hypocrites are those people that say that they're great and mighty Christians and they have a walk with God that's far superior to everybody that's around them and all of that. Man, if that's true, God be with you. That's awesome. Okay? But you're not going to prove that to me by standing in front of me and saying, let me pray. And just beginning to pray in a manner that is loud and boisterous so that everybody can hear and know that you're praying. Because my Bible says you've already got your reward. That's great. You go right ahead. I would rather be hidden in the back closet somewhere talking to God where nobody knows I'm at and nobody knows what I'm doing so that I can get to that place where it's just me and God. And just for the record, you know, I'm a very much a vocal prayer person. I believe that you're supposed to speak to God like He's standing in front of you. We used to have a brother here, Brother Miller, that would come up here during the day. Praise God. And he would, it was his prayer time. He had a key to church. He walked in the church, he'd come up here. And he'd come up on the platform. And you always knew he'd been here because sometimes you would forget to move him back. He would grab, these were different chairs, but he would grab the two chairs that were on the platform, set one right here facing that way and one right here facing that way, about 3 foot apart. He'd set one, and when he'd pray to God like God was sitting in that other chair. He spoke to him like he was right there. And I got to tell you, that man's walk with God was powerful. He had a powerful walk with God because he turned that prayer time into one-on-one time, and he knew that when he prayed, God was there to hear it. He knew it within his heart. He knew it within his soul, and he put him in that chair in his mind, 3 feet away. How many people would love to be 3 feet from God? Praise God. I'd like to be 2 feet from God, but y'all can be 3 if you want. Praise God. We got to take that time to get over there on our own. It's not about letting somebody know we're praying. It's about going to God and speaking to Him. Praise God. Because like the Bible says, they've already got their reward. I'd rather have a real reward. I'd rather have an answer to my prayer. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Praise God. Also, our scripture brings out, praise God, that the heathen likes to pray another way. Praise God. It's called vain repetition. Praise God. Everybody here knows what vanity is, right? I don't need to go into that. Repetition. Does everybody know what repetition is? You know, the heathen believes that if I just speak a whole bunch of words, God will hear me. Which, I mean, that's not a bad thing. If you'll Jerry to pray, waiting for Chrissy to pray. He's been waiting a little long when they talk to you about that. I just seen that. Okay, everybody's paying attention. This is awesome. Okay, so what I'm trying to tell you is there's no point. Praise God. Pray your prayer. God knows your need before you pray. You don't have to remind Him. Oh, that's the other thing. Before I go any further, I got to tell you something. And I've said this 100 times, and everybody seems to forget when I say this. If you ever have to start out your prayer with, "Hey God, it's Chris, remember me?" The answer is no, He doesn't remember you. I'm being honest. I'm being flat out honest. Your prayer life is not something that should only come up once in a blue moon. It's not even something that should come up once a month or once a week. And I'm getting ahead of myself in this lesson because I'm going to talk about this here shortly. But I wanted to say this very, very clearly so everybody understands. If you ever have to start out a prayer with, "Hey God, remember me," He doesn't. I promise. He's like, what was your first name? He might find it eventually, but by that time you already gave up on prayer, you're somewhere else, and He's like, "Oh, I found you!" Missed that whole prayer. That's my picture of God works. I'm sorry. If it's wrong, He'll correct me later, I promise. Praise God. So, after they share with us the things that we shouldn't do, you know, to pray just by standing up in front of the crowd and with a loud voice and be a hypocrite about it. Don't do that. The heathen that just says over and over and over and over again, repetition, there's no point. Don't do that. Praise God. Then they say, "Okay, we told you what not to do. Let me see if I can help you figure out what to do." And what we have before us is the example that everybody and their dog calls the Lord's Prayer. Now, the interesting thing about the Lord's Prayer is this. There's a lot of people, Sister Christy, who take this prayer quite literally. What I mean by that is the Bible says, pray in this wise. So you have people that stand over here and go, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Praise God. And read through it. And just, it's a memorized prayer. Just for the record, I don't really see what you get out of that. I don't. If somebody can explain that to me, you go right ahead. Just for the record, I grew up Catholic, for those of you who don't know. My penance, oftentimes, when I went into that little closet and bragged to him about what I'd done, my penance was the priest would say, "Okay, say 5 Hail Marys and 55 Our Fathers." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'll get it." Just for the record, as an adult, I figured out that vain repetition for no purpose. What are you asking God for if you say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." What did God get out of that? But that's what the Bible says. Pray in this wise. Pray this way. This is what you need to do. Well, stop. Pay attention to what the Word of God is saying. It's not the read this to God prayer. It is the follow this pattern prayer. So we're going to talk about the pattern of the Lord's Prayer this morning. Is everybody ready to do that? You would have enjoyed teaching this just for the record. The beginning of the Lord's Prayer is recognition. Okay? That's what the writer of this lesson called it. It's recognition. Not necessarily what I'd call it, but it begins, "Our Father, who art in heaven." What we're doing when we begin the Lord's Prayer is we are recognizing Him for who He is. First off, everybody's looking at me strange. What do you mean by we're recognizing Him for who He is? The first two words, "Our Father." It's letting Him know and letting us understand and recall for ourselves that He is our Heavenly Father. He is the one who spoke the world into existence. He is the one who reached down into the dust and formed man in His own image. He is the one who breathed the breath of life into us. He is our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. Praise God. We're denoting we know where he is. We're saying we know that you are our Father and that you are in heaven. You are in a place far above us. Did you all know the Word of God says that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts? It also says as heaven is higher than we are, so are his ways and his thoughts. When we're identifying him, when we're recognizing him by the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, when we say our Father, we're saying, I understand that you are the Father, the Creator, the one and only God of this entire world and universe. The second thing we're saying is, and we know your ways and thoughts are above our ways and thoughts, who art in heaven. Have you ever been on top of a mountain? Have anybody been to Pikes Peak? Been to the top of Pikes Peak? Anybody? Okay, Empire State Building. Anything really, really high? Has anybody been up a really tall ladder? Stood on a roof? Been on a hill? Man, y'all got to get out more. When you get to the peak of something, when I got on top of Pikes Peak, which I've been a few times, when I got on top of Pikes Peak, you walk over around in different directions, and you begin to look, and you see a city or a town, and it's right there. You can make out the buildings. You can't really make out cars because it's too far away. And you start thinking to yourself, I wonder what city that is. So then you walk over, they got these little boards in different places and things like this. And you walk over to this little board that says, that you see out there, that's whatever it is. And you're like, that's awesome. I don't know what that is. I don't have to question myself. And then you read at the bottom, it says, well, it's basically 175 miles away. And you're like, oh, it ain't. It's right there. What I'm trying to say is when you're high, when you're elevated, when you're lifted up, you can see a whole lot more than you can from the ground on which we stand, from the elevation on which we are. When we say, who art in heaven, we're saying, God, we know that you can see further than we can. But we're not talking about distance here. We're talking about time. God sees the end from the beginning. He sees past the curve in the road. He sees past the horizon that we cannot see, no matter how high we get. The horizon's as far as you can ever see. God sees beyond that. We're letting him know that we understand his knowledge, his power, his intellect, his ability, his holiness, his kindness, his awesomeness. Praise God. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Holy. Separate. Pure. We let him know that we recognize that he is the God of everything. When we begin the Lord's Prayer, when we begin our prayer to God, this is the way that we need to go to him. We need to go to him and recognize that he is, who he is, and what he is. He is an awesome, awesome God. He is a holy and a righteous King. He's a creator. He is love. And his love for us was extended to us in that while we were yet sinners, he still gave his life for us. When we go to God in prayer, we need to go there and recognize him and praise him. He's high and lifted up. He's worthy of our praise. Praise God. We've got to acknowledge to him that we understand that he is holy. Hallowed be thy name. We begin to praise him and give him honor. Praise God. Wait a minute. It's not time for petitions yet. We're not supposed to be moving into, hey, this is what I need, God. We need to let him know that we know who he is, that we love him, and that we want to praise him. We want to give him honor. But it's not yet time to give any kind of petition to him. Even after we recognize him, even after we begin to praise him by saying, hallowed be thy name, it's still not time to bring our petition. Because now, we've got to submit ourselves to him. Praise God. Praise God. And that begins in verse 11, where it says, verse 10, praise God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. Uh-oh. What did we just do? We submitted ourselves to the will of God. We say, not my will, God, but thine will. Wait a minute. I've heard that somewhere. I think Jesus prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let this cup pass from me, Lord. I don't want to go through what I'm getting ready to have to go through. But not mine will. Let thine will be done. When we go to God in prayer, after we've done all of this recognition and praise, the next thing we've got to do is we've got to submit our will to Him. We've got to let Him know that He's higher and greater than we'll ever dream of being. That we're willing to humble ourselves. Oh, there's another scripture reference. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I heal their land. Oh, maybe that's the way that we ought to pray. With humility. By submitting ourselves to Him. By allowing His will to be more important to us in our prayer than even our own. Because I got news for you. Chris's will is not always the will of God. It's true. Happened to me. My greatest will has always been to not have to work, to be independently wealthy, to not ever have to worry about anything. So, you know, if it was going to be my will, I'd just say, hey, God, I love you, you're great, you're awesome, can I have a whole lot of money? If I'd been King Solomon, we'd never had the wisest king there ever was, because when he said, ask what you will, I'd say, cash. I wouldn't really, that was, I'm trying to make sure everybody stays away. We've got to humble ourselves before God. It doesn't do you any good to go to God and say, you're a great God. Give me this. He's not at our beck and call. There used to be a sitcom show I watched when I was a kid. I can't remember the name of it, but it was about a butler. Benson or something like that. Anyway, he was the butler in this big mansion deal. And he was at the owner of this house, this castle or what mansion or whatever you want to call it. He was at his absolute beck and call. He'd be cleaning and mopping the kitchen or something, and this guy'd be in there whistling or yelling his name, and he'd have to drop what he's doing and go running in there. Praise God. Now, the cool thing about the sitcom and what made it last and what made it funny and fun to watch was the butler guy was way smarter than the owner guy. And he let it be known in every show. Praise God. Some people think that because we're willing to live our lives in the manner that God intends for us to live, separate and holy, filled with His Spirit, loving His Word, spending time in prayer, we're taking time out of our busy day to talk to God, then God needs to do what we tell Him to do. They don't say that, Jerry, don't get me wrong, but that's the way they act. And then they get mad at God when He doesn't do what they said. I hate talking to these people. Because it's like a road rage deal for me. You just want to pop them in the head and go, wake up. God is not your servant. He is your God. You're the servant. His grace and His mercy are what you survive on. Don't ever say, God, do this for me. And when He doesn't do it, get mad at Him. I got a better idea. God, this is the outcome that I desire. Do what you got to do to make it work out that way. Praise God. If God answered all my prayers in my will, I'd have never married Doris. You remember when you was a kid, right? God, I'll do anything if you'll make so-and-so just like me. Praise God. Glad He didn't make them just like me. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't know the end from the beginning. God does. Don't go and tell God what He needs to do. He's not the servant. He's not the butler. He's not the slave. He is the God of heaven. Submit your will to Him. Say, God, this is what I got. Let your will be done. Do what you need to do. Because once we've submitted ourselves, once we've allowed our will to be placed lower than His will, it's time to give Him our petitions. God, I'm having a financial need. Which, by the way, church, start praying because we got insurance due this month. And Christy hadn't figured out where she's going to get the money for it. I just told her to take it out of her account. But praise God. God, I have a financial need. Or I have a friend of mine whose daughter's cousin's brother's sister's niece is sick in their body. Touch that situation. Let your will be done with that situation. I got a need. I know a person that has a need. I know somebody that only you can touch. I know somebody that only you can heal. And I'm asking you, God, to meet this need, to touch this situation. Praise God. See, God does want us to bring our needs to Him. He does. The Bible says He knows our needs before we pray. Praise God. But He waits till we pray to answer those needs. He wants us to know where the answer came from. He wants us to know how deep His love for us is. He wants us, when we go in prayer, to take our needs and petitions to Him. It's His greatest desire. I'm a father. I have two almost grown sons. They're both tall. They're not really mentally grown up yet, apparently. Praise God. But the whole time they were growing up, I just didn't have a whole lot of time. I was always working. So when I did have that time to be with them, they knew they could get what they wanted out of Dad. Okay? Don't tell Doris I knew this, because I kept telling her, I don't know what you're talking about the whole time they were growing up. They could come to me. They could put on them puppy dog eyes, hug on me, and tell me they love me. And then they could ask whatever they wanted. And if I had a way in the world to give it to them, I would. Has anybody else ever done that to their kids or grandkids? Mm-hmm. Never happened, has it? Just me. I'm the oddity in the world. That's fine. Praise God. Our God, He is our Heavenly Father. Praise God. And He wants to touch us. He wants to meet our need. The thing that made it okay in my eyes to give my sons the things that they asked for, that made sense. I mean, if they asked for a dirt bike and couldn't ride a bicycle, I wouldn't give it for them. You know what I'm saying? You know, there had to be some logic to it that a father would know. Okay? Well, when we go to God, it's just like their young boys running to me. He's excited by the fact that they've come. He's excited by the fact that they care and that they love Him. And it's not a joke. It's true. It's real. It's genuine. And when we ask our petition, when we ask that thing we need, God wants to give us that thing that we desire in our heart. As long as it's not outside of His will, He'll move heaven and earth to give us that thing that we desire. Just ask Joshua. Joshua was in the midst of a battle. The battle was going long. But for the first time in a long time, Israel was winning. There was a system back then, Jerry. You only fought in the daytime. Apparently, everybody who hated each other had made a gentleman's agreement. When the sun goes down, we quit fighting. Well, that'd be sweet today. But here's the deal. The sun is going down. Joshua's actually winning the battle, and he says, wait a minute. This ain't right. If that sun goes down, we'll lose our momentum. They'll have time to regroup and replan and strategize and all of this stuff. But instead of going against what was expected in that day of not fighting at the night, Joshua said a simple prayer. God, I know You can do this. I know You have the power to do this. I know that You desire to meet the needs of Thy people. So I'm asking You really simply. Stop the sun. Don't let it go down. And God went, put the brakes on. And the sun stayed in the sky until the battle was won. God wants to meet our needs. He wants to touch us in a manner that only He can, so that He can receive the praise for the answer. I made my wife mad a lot when the kids were growing up. Because when I give those boys what they wanted, I was a hero. She did all the work. Don't get me wrong. She fed him and clothed him and cleaned up after him and all that stuff, because I'm way lazy in that area. Like Todd is. Praise God. Praise God. But I was the hero because I gave them what they wanted. God already is your hero. But he wants you to let him be your hero again. Go ahead and ask what you need. Go ahead and ask that thing that you want.
Praise God. Praise God.
The next thing that's in our pattern is forgiveness. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, my Bible says if I won't forgive, he won't forgive. I think that's why this was put into the pattern of prayer that was written down in Matthew for us to follow. It's important we remember that we've got to forgive. Matter of fact, I'm going to be a little controversial here if you don't mind. It's my belief, take it with a grain of salt, but I'm absolutely right. It is my belief that if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, God will not hear our prayer. Because if we can't forgive, he can't forgive. And I think I can back that up scripturally. Has anybody ever read the Bible where it says, if you bring a gift up to the altar of God, and I'm paraphrasing this, if you bring a gift up to the altar of God and remember that you have aught against your brother, leave the gift and go back and make it right with your brother before you come back and offer the gift unto God on the altar? If you have unforgiveness in your heart, that's the gift that's on the altar. Before you can give that gift on the altar, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you've got to go make that right before God is going to hear and answer your prayer. That's my opinion. And like I said, I'm absolutely right.
Praise God.
It is at this point in our prayer that sometimes our forgiveness is an additional petition. God, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. God, I want to forgive this person, but I can't get it. I cannot get that thing that has been done to me out of my heart. I cannot get forgiveness to flow in my system. God, I need you to help me forgive so that you can forgive me. And I got to tell you, when you sincerely go to God for anything like that, God's going to answer that prayer. When you go to God, your petition is, I need to be delivered from this sin. And I can't seem to get it out of me, God. I need your help. God's going to go, help's right on the way. Praise God. Sometimes the forgiveness part is an additional petition, additional need. God, help me get this out of my help me get it out of my heart. And God will answer that prayer. And that's when you go and let that person that you have aught against know that there is forgiveness for that thing that has hurt you so badly. And then watch as God opens up the windows of heaven and begins to pour out blessings on you like you never even imagined. We got to remind ourselves every day, oh, I forgot something. Will somebody yell at me for forgetting something? Remember when I said earlier that God doesn't want us to pray once a month and doesn't want to pray once a week and all that? Well, I forgot where it says, give us this day our daily bread. Did you see the word there? Mm-hmm. Daily. Mm-hmm. That's like every day, Todd. That's what that means. Every day. 7 days a week. For real. I read that. Praise God. That's actually a reference. I know I'm bouncing back, but that was actually a reference to when Israel was in the wilderness and God was sending manna down from heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. There you go, that daily blessing, that daily interaction, that daily honor. Praise God. When we pray, we need to do it daily. It needs to be something that is part of our everyday ritual. It needs to be part of something that's our everyday life.
Praise God.
Do it daily. But anyway, sorry I had to digress to that because I forgot that step.
Praise God.
Following asking forgiveness and sharing forgiveness and remembering and reminding ourselves of forgiveness being necessary.
Praise God.
We begin to ask for God's direction. Verse 13 of Matthew 6 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. A good shepherd, his job is to lead his flock to that place where everything is safe and secure. There's no poisonous weeds in the field. There's plenty of water to sustain them. There's plenty of grass to eat. There's everything they need in order to grow and prosper. And a good shepherd's also supposed to be there in order to protect that flock that is before him. The Bible actually talks about a hireling servant. A hireling, when the wolf comes, will run away because he's more concerned for himself than he is for the flock that he was hired to protect. But a shepherd will stand between the wolf and the flock because the flock is the most important thing. When we say unto God in prayer, "Take me where I need to be. Show me the path that I must follow. Lead me to your perfect will in my life," as we pray every day,
praise God.
This is God's desire for us because He is the Good Shepherd. And we allow Him to be that shepherd in our lives. We're allowing Him to be the God that He has always desired to be. We began our prayer with recognition and praise. You got to end your prayer with worship. "For thy kingdom, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." At the end of your daily prayer, after you've gone through recognizing Him, praising Him, honoring Him, submitting your will to His, delivering unto God your petitions and needs, reminding yourselves to forgive those that He can forgive you, and asking God to lead, guide, and direct you, the last thing that you've got to do is say, "Because I know your power. I know your honor. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." You begin to give God that worship. Now, does everybody here know the difference between worship and praise? Nobody? I've taught it before. Praise, the most easy way to say it, praise is honoring from the heart. It's giving glory to God from your heart. Verbalizing your love towards Him is praise. Okay? Worship is honoring God from the very depths of your soul. Worship doesn't even have to be out loud. It doesn't have to be exuberant. It doesn't have to be anything. It's just got to be a honor and a love and a glory from the very pits of your soul. That connection that you give God everything, including yourself, your life, your everything. We've got to end the prayer by letting God know that we know that He is. From the very pits of our soul, we need to let Him know that we know that He is and that we love Him for who He is and for what He does and for what He's done. Even if God never does a single thing for me again, ever, He's still God and He still deserves our worship. That love that flows from the very pits of our being, you know, extends unto God. Now remember, church,
thank you for this magnificent word that Brother Chris has brought to us today, Lord. We pray that you go with us and carry us until the next time to come, Lord. We pray that you help us to get better at praying and understand that sometimes all our prayers aren't answered. Lord Jesus, we pray that you bless the food. In Jesus' name I ask.